from the Montgomery area. I'm an Anakin Pitt. I thought we had more readings, so I was like zoning out in my head. Did I miss the it works? No? Okay. Alright. I'm very nervous, so my plan is to imagine that you're all cats right now. Just a room full of cats. Just start this off real awkward. I got clean when I was 18, and I'm 23 now. I just celebrated 5 years a few weeks ago, thanks to you all. So this is a youth in recovery panel, and I'm youth, and I'm in recovery, so I'm qualified, I suppose. So I'm just going to like share my story, and hopefully someone gets something out of that. I believe that I was born with the disease of addiction. I had characteristics that I now associate with the disease of addiction before I started picking up. I had just like, when I was young, I just had like an innate self-hatred. I just didn't like myself. I felt uncomfortable in my skin. I felt like I was never good enough, like I didn't belong. I didn't know how to sustain friendships. I didn't know how to sustain friendships, and I really wanted people to like me. Like, I would do anything to, like, get people to like me, and so, in result, like, I just was, like, kind of seen as really weird, and that's true, but, like, it didn't work well when I was a kid, and I felt really out of place. And I was also very impulsive as a kid, and I loved to try and escape reality. Just like an example of like how I was as a kid and like my mindset is like when I was 11, I got like a metal ring and I lit it under a flame and I just like took it to my hand and branded myself with it, and like I still have the scar to this day. And like at the time I wasn't thinking this is gonna hurt, like why am I doing this? I was just like, I wonder what I'm gonna feel. Am I gonna feel something? Like, so I first drank when I was 12, and I first started using drugs when I was 13. And the drugs were really my calling. I think that, like, every time I drank, I would black out, but, like, that wasn't my thing. Being, like, under... Okay, that's funny. Cool. So, being under 18, drugs were easier for me to get. I preferred them, the effects, but they were easier for me to get, and they were easier to conceal, because part of my using was... my parents could legally and physically stop me from using. And so one of my main objectives was to have this kind of like illusion over them, and this manipulation over them so I could keep using. So I kind of had to live this double life where I looked normal to them, but really there was like so much more going on. And like at the end, like everybody knew I wasn't normal. Like it was not that great. The first time I picked up and I got high, I immediately felt like this is the solution, like this is the thing for me. It made me just feel something different. It made me not feel myself, and I really liked that. And so even though the first time I got high was like a substance that some people would say like isn't addictive, I became like mentally addicted, and it started right off there. I started obsessing over it. My whole like... I planned like my life around the next time I could get high. And as I got older, it just got easier for me to be able to use on my own and whenever I wanted. My using just progressed. And the end of my using, I had become a person that I didn't recognize. I did things that I said I would never do. I did drugs I said I would never do. I did them in ways I thought I would never do. I was lying, I was manipulative, I was almost, you know, completely no human contact around me, and the people that were like, if you tried to be nice to me or to like associate with me at the end of my using, you were like Mother Teresa, like you were a good fucking person, because I was a disaster, and I was like a black hole, and like anyone around me would get sucked in, and then I would just completely fuck them over and bring chaos and drama in their life. And so there was three things that kind of led to my bottom and was like the catalyst to like me getting clean. The first one was that the drugs stopped working for me. I had to use drugs every day, all day, and if I didn't, I got sick. And I didn't have any, I wasn't getting high anymore. The second thing was I became completely psychotic. For months at the end of my using, I had such sleep deprivation that I became psychotic. And the psychosis where you see cops like out your window and all that, that was like, you know, that was good for me. The psychosis that I had was, if you've ever seen A Nightmare on Elm Street with the Freddy Krueger guy, and in that movie, there's people and they are in this dream and they have this horrible nightmare. And there's this fucking, like, monster, you know, the three guys, the claw, no, that's Wolverine, four? Whatever, he has claws. And so he's, like, viciously and, like, violently, like, sorry about that. So he's, like, I just noticed, I'm so nervous, I, like, didn't know. Cool. So he's, like, viciously and, like, violently, like, following people around in, like, their dream. And he's, like, hunting them and stalking them. And then he, like, brutally, like, murders them, and it's a dream, but then it's, like, they die in real life. And so that was, like, the end of my using. I believe that there was some, like, alien demon monster thing that was, like, hunting me, and that was going to, like, murder me, slash me, and, like, rip out my organs and guts, which sounds, like, really ridiculous, but at the time, when you really believe that, it is, like, the most, like, terrifying shit ever. So I was just, like, scared. Like, the end of my using wasn't fun. I, like, felt safe, like, hidden under a bed or, like, with the bathroom door closed, and I sat in the bathtub, and I could see just that. And even then, I thought there was something going on. So that psychosis, I actually did go insane. And I had that paranoia last for like a long time that something was like trying to kill me. So that was one. That was the second thing. The third thing was something I reflect on now more than at the time, because I wasn't super aware at the end of my using. And but I remember looking in the mirror at myself and making eye contact with myself. And it's one thing when you stop being able to connect with family and people that used to be friends and other human beings. It's one thing when you can't even connect to like your pets, like the family dog that you've had since you were 12. It's a whole other thing when you cannot feel or connect with yourself. And so I remember looking into the mirror, and in front of me was myself, and I looked into my eyes, and I saw nothing. I felt nothing. There was nobody fucking there. I could not even connect with, my eyes were so empty. It was the most bizarre feeling just to be looking at yourself and to feel absolutely nothing. And so I ended up, those were the three things, and I ended up going to a rehab, and I checked into a rehab when I was under 18, and so I, they couldn't, for some reason, because of that, they wouldn't bring in real 12-step meetings. They don't want to, like, corrupt us or something. And so, but they had this one person from the other fellowship, and the other fellowship person came in, and she would talk to me. And at the time, I couldn't relate into that other situation that we know, and I couldn't relate in, and I thought that I just had to give up my drug of choice, so like I wasn't listening to this lady at all. But she told me that there was this other fellowship, and she was kind of bad mouthing NA, and she was like, you know, there is this other fellowship, but it's really sketchy and disorganized. And I was like, say no more, you had me at sketchy. And I got out of rehab, and I went to a fucking NA meeting. So I heard about this sketchy place. I showed up to the sketchy place. I was like, cool, awesome. But I didn't know what was going on. My brain was like, I had post-acute withdrawal syndrome for like years. My brain was like really very confused. I was just like going to meetings like a couple times a month, like for 6 months or so. And I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have a sponsor. I wasn't working this program. I was trying to white knuckle it. I still didn't have other people around me except like my parents. And I would go to these meetings a couple times a month. And I also didn't understand that you had to abstain from all drugs. I thought I was clean. I wasn't. But me not using every single second of the day and not having this community and this program and not using my drug of choice, like, without that, with trying to stay clean on my own and not having this community, I ended up in a mental hospital for 2 months, like, when I was trying to white-knuckle it. And that's the end of my story for me, you know. That's my story when I think about trying to stay clean without this program. I really do. I was so miserable, and I was so lonely. I think that, like, the loneliness that I felt, like, I like to think about, like, they talk about, like, solitary confinement and, like, being, like, kind of, like, cruel or, like, torture because, like, having one person, like, isolated by themselves for so long, like, they go crazy and it drives them nuts. And that's kind of, like, what I feel about the end of my using. And, you know, it wasn't the, it was that mental and emotional bottom. It wasn't the physical stuff. You know, I went to rehab in a wheelchair because I had, my body had consumed all the fat on my body and it had started to deteriorate the muscle mass. And so I couldn't walk for more than a few minutes. I had to be helped to go to the bathroom. You know, it wasn't until the third week of rehab that I could speak in complete sentences. I would have thoughts in my head and sounds would come out. It wasn't that physical stuff. It wasn't that my doctor said, you're months away from dying, your organs are going to shut down. You know, it wasn't that. It was that complete mental, you know, isolation and breakdown. Hello. Okay. So, kind of want to go over there. Let's see what's up. So I got out of that mental hospital. All right. So fast forward, I went to rehab. I tried to white knuckle it, mental hospital, blah, blah, blah. One thing that I had gotten out of white-knuckling it and showing up to meetings here and there, if you're thinking about the difference it makes to just touch, like, this is how far it goes. I had a woman who gave me her phone number and who had invited me out to eat, like, 4 months prior, and I never called her, I had her number, I never talked to her again. And then I ended up at the mental hospital, and I got out, and I relapsed in a way that I thought, okay, I really did relapse, but I was never clean. So I called this woman. This woman had given me her number months ago, and I called her up, and she met me at a meeting, and I was like, I can't explain to you how weird this was. I, like, basically kept her hostage in a parking lot. I went there, she'd met me once, and then I'm like, hi, and I start telling her the worst things that I had done in my active addiction in this parking lot. Like, and then, so the reason that I started telling her all the worst things I had done in my active addiction is because I knew that I wanted to ask her to be my sponsor, because when I had been coming around now and then, I had heard people talk about how you should get a sponsor, and so I was like, cool, I need one of those. I told her all my worst things because I felt like I need to tell her the worst stuff about me before I ask her to be my sponsor, because if I ask her to be my sponsor, she's going to figure out who I am later on, and she's going to say, sorry, you're too much of a shit person. The things you did and the person you have become and who you are, you're just too awful. I can't sponsor you. And that's what I felt. So I had to tell her all my worst stuff before, because I knew she would leave as soon as she knew who I was as a person. Because that's how it was for me at the end of my using. I did, like, the, you know, you guys know, like, I came in here and I was just like a mess and I hated myself. But she said yes, and she told me to call her every day and to go to a meeting every day. And one of the cool things about my sponsor, she didn't tell me to do all this stuff at once. She just said, call me every day, go to a meeting every day. And that was manageable for me. And so I did call her every day and I did go to a meeting every day. And in meetings, I heard things that people were talking about. Like, some people had lived in, like, a recovery house, and so I went and did that. And, you know, the first time living alone when I was 18, living outside my parents' house, was in a recovery house. And that was, you know, like, that was a wake-up call. I learned, you know, how to pay bills and be a good roommate and all this stuff. But, like, the reason I was there is because I was following suggestions of, like, my predecessors and people who had stayed clean. And so I was just willing to do whatever it took, even be in a house with like a bunch of people that I was like, what the hell is going on all the time? You know, like, so I also remember coming to meetings early on, and something that really attracted me was people were just sitting in a meeting and they looked comfortable. Like, they just looked content. Like, they weren't trying. Like, they were just sitting there. And, like, when I first came into meetings, like, a big meeting for me was, like, more than five people. And I... and so I just sitting there and, like, being around other humans, even going to, like, a candlelight meeting was, like, hard for me. And... Wow, it's unbelievable. Story for the grandkids someday. All right, so, okay. So I was going to meetings was like really hard and really uncomfortable. It was so hard for me just to sit around other people. I had, you know, I had such little human contact at the end that just feeling like another human's being present was like weird for me. And I was antsy during the meeting and I was fidgety and I was self-centered. I felt like everyone's looking at me, everyone's staring at me, like nobody likes me, all this stuff. And you know, that's not true. Like everybody, all the things I was worried about, people thinking about me, like as a group and as the program when I came in here, like I was the only one thinking that. Like nobody gave a shit. The only thing that people cared about was that I came back and I stayed clean. Nobody gave a shit about how I looked or what I was wearing. And so one of, you know, speaking of being young, one of the first things that I noticed when I was going to meetings was that I was almost always the youngest person in the room. And I felt too young for the young people. I felt like the young people were like 25 or like, I would see like, I'd be like, oh my God, look at that 20-year-old. I'm only 18. They're so cool. And, you know, and so I think that it was really my disease, like trying to isolate me and get me out of like help, you know. But some of those uncomfortabilities, like another thing I noticed was people would talk about having used for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And I felt like, do I really belong here? You know, I knew that I was a drug addict because I knew that other normal people didn't use drugs the way I did and they didn't use the drugs I used. And so I knew I was an addict, but I wasn't sure that this was the place for me. And something that helped counteract that is, number one, I watched you guys and you guys seemed comfortable, and that I can't tell you how attractive it was to see people who could just sit in their own skin and were not using. Like, it was unbelievable to me. And I wanted that so bad. Like, I wanted to stop hating myself and stop feeling like so uncomfortable and anxious all the time. And the other thing that helped me is in the meetings, and my sponsor started talking about step work, and I was like, cool, step work. I didn't know what that was, but we started working the first step. And so when I felt like I hadn't used long enough or hard enough or I was too young, we had talked about my first step, that powerlessness, that unmanageability, that inability to control my use of any mood or mind-altering substances. And I had talked about that, and I also write my steps, so I had written evidence of, look how much you fucked up your life. Like, you did enough. You don't need to go any further. You know, I almost died. Like, I don't need to keep using because I'm 23 years old or because I'm 18. Like, you know, and I heard you guys talk about your bottom is when you stop digging, you know. And for me, going over my first step and the misery that I felt at the end of my using, like, I had had enough. And I was ready to do whatever. And for me, the gift of desperation, you know, it's spiritual and all that. But for me, it's about, it gave me the ability to do a bunch of shit that I didn't want to do, that I thought was stupid and that I didn't understand. That was the gift of desperation for me. I didn't want to go to meetings every day. I didn't want to call people every day. I didn't want to hug people. Sure. I didn't want to do step work. Did I think it was a good idea to go and talk about all the things I did that fucked up my life? Like, doesn't, like, objectively seem like a good idea to me to, like, do that on my first step. But I believed you guys. I wanted what you guys had so bad. And this is what people were staying clean were doing. They had service positions. They were doing steps. And so I just followed suggestions and directions, and I did what you guys did. And my life slowly started to build and get better. and I sat with the uncomfortability. That's the other part of desperation for me, is that the uncomfortability with all this new stuff and all these things that I don't have no idea how to do, it was not even as close to the end of my using, thinking that there's some fucking demon that's about to murder me, okay? I can sit in a goddamn NA meeting. So my life kind of started to get better, and I was starting to get friends, and I was getting some clean time, and I had a part-time job now, and I couldn't do anything. So like I had all this stuff going for me, and I was like very like surprised, and so it just kept me motivated to keep going, and I didn't use, you know, that's the biggest thing. Like I was able to do all this normal human stuff without getting high. And early recovery for me was a lot of panic because I had never faced any of those things clean. And so all these new situations and encounters were like panic and like, you know, I was a ball of like chaos, and like I called my sponsor like 3 times a day, which is fine, but I just didn't know how to deal with any of these situations clean. So I called her and talked to her all the time because I didn't know what to do. And that's the beautiful thing that I found in this program, is I don't know how to live life clean. Look at all these fucking people that have all these different experiences that I can call and that can help me. And that, you know, regular people don't have this shit, you know? We have the disease of addiction, but we have this program, and this program, I think, like, puts us... I just feel very grateful that I have this. And so somewhere towards my first year, I started to take classes again. And I was very afraid. I went to a community college, and I took one class. I was told, you know, start off slow. But you guys believed in me and encouraged me. And so I started off with one class. And here's my experience in middle school and high school when I was in active addiction. If I showed up, I was high or I was intoxicated. If I wasn't high or intoxicated and I had shown up, I was in the guidance counselor's office crying the whole day, riddled with anxiety, unable to come out and be in a normal classroom. If that wasn't the case, then I would use as much as I could before I went to class. I would be completely disruptive for 2 hours while I was still high. And then I would get sick and go into withdrawal, and I would either be passed out or I would be throwing up in a bathroom. So that was my experience with school. I never showed up to, like, a lot of my peers went to college. I never showed up to take the SAT or the ACT. Absolutely no priority to me. I was getting high. Had no care. So I came in, I started taking one class, and I was very, very freaked out by it. I didn't know, like, how it would go. There was a certain drug that I knew would help me study. I took drugs for every single thing, and definitely, like, tried to take a certain substance for studying. It never really worked, but I was like, there's this substance that, like, you could take for studying. And so that was kind of, like, triggering to me because, like I said, that I had that post-acute withdrawal syndrome, and I had a hard time staying awake. Like, I had a hard time... cognitively, like reading was hard for me. I would read the same paragraph over and over, and I couldn't remember what I had read, and it was so frustrating. And you guys just encouraged me to keep coming back. Like everything I did here today, like everything I've done in my life is like through the support of these rooms and the people in these rooms and you guys telling me that I'm an okay person and I can do it. Actually, a lot of you guys say I'm cool, nice person, which is nice, but I started with one class, and then at the community college, and then I took two classes, and then I took two classes for the next semester, and I just went really slow. Being in a classroom was awkward, but I knew how to deal with awkward because I had learned how to sit in a room full of people through Narcotics Anonymous. You guys had told me about asking for help, so if I didn't understand something, I could ask my professor, and like I wasn't embarrassed to do so. A lot of the things that I apply in my life, whether it be school or outside stuff, I've learned from NA, and so I went slow. I was in a community college for 2.5 years. Somewhere during that timeline, I turned 21. And just for today, I'm okay to say I've never had a legal drink. A lot of days, it's really weird. it can be really weird, but for my 21st birthday, I tried to think about, because if I went to class, they would be like, you're turning 21, yeah, what are you going to do? And I'm like, going to a meeting, like, and so for a lot of it, I just was trying to remind myself that at the end, my using was, I could essentially get drugs delivered to me by mail, okay? So I did not need to be like, oh, I can now walk into a liquor store. Drugs were so easy for me to get. Like, it's, so I tried to think of it like that. And I told people what was going on, and I had people surrounding me. And I also did something fun on my 21st birthday, and I like to say that I couldn't go out and drink, so I jumped out of an airplane. So I went skydiving, like, on my 21st birthday, like, and that was a really fun, cool thing to do for me. And so, like, I turned 21, and I'm having, you know, as I'm, like, going through my recovery, I'm just trying to, like, learn about setting boundaries with myself and with other people, and I learned that through the steps and through going through my defects. I learned that I'm really used to drama and chaos, and I have codependent issues, and so going through the step works helped me, like, look at myself and see, like, what parts of myself I'm not okay with anymore, and here's what we can do about it. There is a solution, and it's in the steps. And so I started to kind of, like, my life just kind of started to get better, and was just, like, a bunch of stuff was just really, it was just gradual. But I was able to, like, be alive and be, like, content or happy most days, and, like, show up for life and do things. And, you know, I just really appreciated that, and I kept going. And after about two and a half years at the community college, I transferred I applied and I transferred to the University of Maryland, which was, like, really cool, because I, like, thought I was, I really thought I was stupid. I came in here and, like, I couldn't remember shit. I just, like, I really didn't think I had any brain. And so then, like, transferring was super cool. And you guys helped me with that. Everything, like, I owe everything to this program. The first semester that I was on campus at that school, I had one of the hardest experiences in my recovery, not because of the school campus, but I'd had a really close friend that I... if I cry, I'll just, like, I'll never stop crying. I had a really close friend that I had known since I'd been clean and had been in my life, and I loved her like a sister. And she had had cancer over the years, and, you know, that first semester I was back, she went into hospice care, and I helped, you know, I was helping her mom take care of her, and and that was watching someone you love so much slowly disintegrate was a pain that I've never experienced before. And I just kept showing up to meetings, and when she died, I found myself miserable. I was so sad. I was so devastated. I was so catatonic. And but I had learned from the foundation is that this program gave me is that I needed to just keep showing up to meetings and talking to people. And so I found myself feeling miserable in meetings, but I showed up anyway. I found myself in a meeting every night. I was devastated, but I still showed up. And I would sit there and I'd be like, how the fuck did I get here? Why am I in this meeting right now? Like, and it just naturally happened. It was just my natural reaction to something really hard going on. And I shared about it. Something that helps me is I share in meetings about what's going on, and I get honest, and I don't care, because I was told early on that I'm here to save my ass, not my face. Okay. I just made a weird cat joke at the beginning of this share. It was pretty fucking weird, but that's okay. So now I go to the University of Maryland. I lived with someone in recovery for my first 4.5 years clean. couple, last September I moved out, and I have my own apartment on campus. I live in a college town. There's a bunch of idiot kids my age that are getting, you know, actually it was like probably me. They're getting like drunk and high all the time, and it's fine, but like, you know, it's kind of in your face a little bit. But I'm okay with it because I know my story, and it doesn't matter. Like, I can't do whatever the lesser drug. I can't do that. I can't do alcohol. You know, like, I can't do any of that shit. I know my story. And another thing that helps me accept that I'm a huge fucking addict is step work. I do step work, and I'm like, damn, like, you have problems. Like, look at your freaking defects. Like, they're just extensions of using. Like, look at all the shit that you do addictively and compulsively. And so step work helps keep me here, too, because it shows me, like, whoa, you're an addict, and whoa, there's something that you can do about it. The other thing is that I wanted to say is just that when I came in here, I thought that, you know, you can't stay clean and have fun. And if you're feeling that way, what helped me is to play my tape all the way through and play it backwards. And so I just, like, I think it's about the end of my using. And the end of my using wasn't fun. It wasn't fun to sit in a fucking bathroom and think about someone's gonna kill me, you know? Like, it wasn't fun to have no friends and to, like, get sick all the time. It was not fun. But for some reason, I came in here and I was like, I'm not gonna have fun if I'm not using, like, you know, like, and, like, so today, like, here's what's happened in my life. Like, today, if I wanna do something, like, I can go try it and do it, like, because of you guys. If you're bored, what I do when I'm bored is I think about the things that I wanted to do when I was a kid or when I was an adolescent that I was too embarrassed to try because I felt like I was going to fail or I'd look stupid doing it. So today, I'm just like a completely awful ukulele player. I'm so bad at skateboarding. I'm not good at drawing. But I do all those things because, like, they're fun things for me to do. Like, and I enjoy them and I don't care, like, how I look. It's just, like, it's for me and, like, I can go camping, I can go hiking, I can go, I love rock climbing, you know, like skydiving, scuba diving, like the possibilities are endless, like if you're clean. None of this shit would have been able to happen had I kept using. I mean, definitely not because I would be dead. The program has worked for me. Overall, if you're young, my experience has been that there's sometimes different circumstances, but it's hard to get clean at any age, and if you're young, it does work. And yeah, so thanks for letting me share.